I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. My name is Emmett Mann. Rate, review, and subscribe on your podcast platforms and on YouTube. Like, subscribe there as well. Okay, so very excited about this because, I mean, we know Darko Rajkovic is now the Raptors head coach, but we want to understand more about his Serbian background and how that has informed who he is today. And to do that, Filip Marković, sorry, I had to do it. I had to try. Did I get it?
Yes, that's fine.
Yes, I got it. All right. Yeah, I got it. Of Serbian Toronto TV. So he's a local for us. And at the press conference yesterday, he asked a question in Serbian. And I was like, this could be an interesting person to talk to. What'd you ask him again?
I just asked him what his first impressions are of the city, considering that Toronto has a huge Serbian diaspora, and how he's adapted so far to his surroundings.
Oh, you told me before we started recording, you told me that how many Serbians are here?
So he told me 50,000, but after a little bit of research, there's actually 25,000 Serbians alone in Toronto. Yeah. So there's a lot of us. It's a big community.
Yeah. And that is one of the bigger communities in the world, I believe.
Exactly. So there's actually a lot more Serbians in Toronto or in Canada in general than there are Serbians in actually cities in Serbia, to put it into perspective. So a lot of us moved from Serbia to cities like Toronto or even Chicago during the war in the 90s, and we've all just been living in Toronto since, and the number is growing.
Beautiful. What are the popular dishes, food? Serbia.
Dishes in Serbia, čevapi are very popular. They're little meat rolls. Pljeskavice, which is basically just a like a burger patty, but you can eat it just by itself with a little bit of onion on the side.
Beautiful.
You can add kajmak, which is like a Serbian cream cheese / butter. There's a lot of calories in our diet, I must admit. Very, very meat heavy. But if meat is not your thing, we also have burek, which is a type of you can make it into a meat pie, but traditionally you can also eat it as a cheese pie.
Nice.
So that's kind of like your typical Serbian meals.
And where is the Serbian community located in Toronto?
Mainly we are found in the Etobicoke area.
Okay.
If you give it a little perspective, the 427 Highway and Burnenthorpe Road. So that's kind of the area where the Serbs are the most saturated. But we're honestly spread out throughout all of the whole GTA, such as the East End, such as North York, especially East York. And yeah, a lot of us are found in Hamilton and Kitchener.
No kidding. I wonder if Darko knows that.
We should ask him that.
Yeah. Definitely. I brought on Philippe because, I mean, this is obviously like a big moment for European basketball, for Serbia, and it would be cool to know more about that aspect of it because we've learned so much about his NBA journey from the G League to the NBA to where he is now. But what about those steps prior to that, and how has that informed the person he is today? So reaction in Serbia right off the bat.
Yeah, it was a big deal. I spoke to a few family members in Serbia. They were looking forward to it, definitely. It got a big reaction here in Toronto, especially considering the community we have. You know, people were just posting stories on Instagram, tweeting it. As soon as I saw it, for example, I immediately screenshotted it, showed it to my friends. They got a big reaction out of it. My Serbian friends, they're like, and my non-Serbian friends, I'm like, yeah, you know, like we're taking over the NBA. my dad, for example, was a big fan. We're just all incredibly proud how fast I feel like as a nation we're being recognized. Jokic, just on a global scale, with Jokic, with Djokovic and tennis, and amongst other athletes. And so yeah, it was a big honor, and I'm just more so excited to bring in a little bit of a fresh tactic, especially in the NBA, especially to the Raptors.
Yeah,
so, it got a big reaction from the Serbian community, especially here in Toronto and back home.
So where does he rank in terms of popularity, celebrity in Serbia right now? I'm guessing he's behind Nikola Jokic and Novak Djokovic, but after that, is he close?
I'll be honest. He's not that popular. He's not that popular, considering that he never coached at the senior level when he was in Serbia. He coached mainly at the youth level.
Right.
I'm not saying that he's not known, but considering he was an assistant coach in the NBA, he's also very well known here, which is also a very important thing. But he's definitely behind Jokic and Djokovic. And I mean, look, he's just trying to follow the footsteps of our famous coach and previous player, Aleksandar Djordjevic, who was the Serbian national coach for about 7 years.
Yeah.
7 years. And he's a young guy, right? He's in his 40s. And I think he has a lot to, he has a good resume, but he also has a lot to prove. But we're optimistic about it. And the good thing is people are just starting to get to know him. I met him for the first time personally yesterday. He seems like a stand-up guy, nice guy, professional, confident, which I saw in him. And he's happy to be here in Toronto, which I think we could all appreciate. And yeah. I think he's a coach. I feel that he might be the coach we all need right now. And that's all I'm going to say on that matter for now. We'll see how it turns out. But I'm confident just like he is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame you for saying that. I mean, everything that we're seeing from him and the culture reset that the Raptors are trying to get going here, it seems to me that he could be the answer just because of everything we've learned about him so far. And also, you know, just digging in a little bit on who he is and also Serbian basketball in general. This is a shift. And it's not just because of the fact that he's European, his personality, his charisma, how he interprets players, how he articulates information to players. That is all going to shift from what we saw under Nick Nurse and so forth. But just basketball in Serbia, right? Like, is it number one? Is it number two? And yeah, let's start there.
Basketball in Serbia, great topic. Yeah, so basketball in Serbia is by far the number one sport in the country. It's our
hands down.
Hands down. It's our national sport.
Okay.
Some could argue tennis, but that's only because of Djokovic. If it wasn't for Djokovic, tennis wouldn't be what it is today. Soccer is up there, but we've not had any success as a nation when it comes to soccer. We suck when it comes to the World Cup. We haven't made it the Euro Cup as an independent country. So
yeah.
Yeah, soccer's not really in the equation there, but no, undisputably, basketball is the number one sport. It kind of runs the culture in our country, and that's exactly the kind of philosophy that Darko should be bringing to the Raptors. It's also a very much so different style of play, the European and the Serbian basketball, as opposed to the Western North American style of play. I think that it's still gone as underappreciated, and people aren't noticing yet how developed and beautiful the Serbian basketball is. And you can kind of tell through the drafts how low the draft picks such as Jokic or most recently Jovic were.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is a great opportunity to show the NBA, the Western Hemisphere, what exactly Serbian basketball is all about. And I would say we're up there. I mean, we a lot of the times when it comes to international tournaments, Serbia comes in second place. USA tops the tournament every year, but when it comes to FIBA competitions or the Olympics, we see the USA Serbia final pretty often. And hey, we give the USA a hard time. I'll admit. And it's huge. It's huge in Serbia, and I hope that it becomes recognized in America and Canada very soon through Darko's coaching, hopefully through Raptor style of play, and hopefully more Serbian players could join the league. I mean, the you could dispute that the best player in the league currently is Serbian with in Nikola Jokic. So,
Yep.
yeah.
Do you know all the Serbian players in the NBA right
Oof.
now?
Good question. Good question.
You mentioned two of them already.
Nikola Jokic and Nikola Jovic are two of them.
Yes.
We have Bogdan Bogdanovic,
Yes.
the third. Boban Marjanovic,
Yes.
Big Bobby. We have Pokuševski from OKC. Remind me his first name.
It's ALEKSEJ. I don't want to mess it up.
Alexander
Okay,
Pokuševski.
so it is that then.
He's young as well.
Yeah.
Is that all them?
That is, yes. The other one that you could think about is Nurmagomedov Bjelica.
Bjelica.
Yeah.
He won the title with the Golden State last year. I was gonna name him, but I know he doesn't play in the NBA this year anymore. So
Yes.
I know him. But
Yes.
he's a huge player for Serbia and their national team. Absolutely.
Okay, so you know your stuff then, and you've met some of these guys too.
Exactly. Yeah, working with Serbian Toronto TV has given me that opportunity. We've interviewed Bogdanovic so far, and I've interviewed Nikola Jovic. That was actually
Yeah.
really cool. That was a cool interview because we interviewed him the day of the Miami Toronto game, and we interviewed him at the training facility at the Scotiabank Arena. So
Yeah.
I got to go inside, and I got to literally see all the players. Practice right in front of me. Jimmy Butler's right there sitting on the bench,
There you
like
go.
talking smack to his teammates. Adebayo looked huge. Jovic is an 0-3. He's 2003, yet he's like 3 heads taller than me. It was really intimidating to see. It was nice to see Lowry again being interviewed.
100%.
Yeah, I've interviewed two of them so far. Didn't get the Jokic interview. Hopefully next year
Yeah.
we can maybe nail that down. But no, yeah, like I love interviewing them, especially in the native language. I think they appreciate hearing somebody from their own language. They can relate to that. It was actually pretty heartwarming talking to Nikola Jovic. As I said, he's 2003, right? So he's about 20 years old, and he was nervous for the interview. He was very nervous for the interview. Yeah, he was like fixing his hair, and I thought, wow, this guy's in the NBA. And but I, it was really nice talking to him. He's a very down to earth guy. He gave a great interview, and just honestly good vibes from all players.
The amount of times I've seen Raptor players fixing their hair and looking in a mirror before they do even like a practice availability. Like
Yeah.
that happens. So I get it. I mean, you gotta look your best, right? You're in front of the camera. Are there some commonalities between the players that you've interviewed, or even just like Serbian players now, historically? Is there something that connects them in their basketball skills, their personalities, character?
They're all just easy to, again, it's more so personality traits that are very similar, I would say. I used to attend Raptors Serbian nights that actually still go on, I think, once a year.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's when a team with a Serbian player comes like when a team comes to the Scotiabank that has a Serbian player, such as Denver or OKC, and let's say that player is Jokic. It the they organize like a Serbian night at Scotiabank Arena, and at halftime there's actually a traditional Serbian dance being performed on the court.
Nice.
I don't know if you've ever attended those.
I didn't know there was I know they've done that before, different from different countries. They'll have some sort of night with it, but I didn't know there was a Serbia one.
Yeah, so yeah, there's been Serbian
Won't
nights.
be the last, by the
Yeah, exactly. The last time I've been to one was 2019, for example. That's when the Hawks came
Yeah.
with Bogdanovic, and at halftime there was a dance. And at the end of the game, all Serbs came behind the net, sat down, and Bogdan came out and answered just questions from the stands.
Yeah.
So, and then from so and that dates back to about 2012 when Peja Stojaković played for Raptors that one
Great
season.
shooter. Oh,
Yeah, and
slingshot, jeez.
he came. He was all part of that Serbian night, and he came after the game and answered questions. And just looking at those players from different generations, there isn't really a difference in personality. They're very down to earth, who all players that come from very humble beginnings, I would say, from war-torn Serbia, some of them. They built that resilience that no other player can relate to. Funny story as well, Vlade Divac, he went to the same elementary school as my mom, and they know each other. Every time she goes to Belgrade in the summers, she would maybe hit him up and they'd just meet up for a cup of coffee. Very nice guy as well. So
No kidding.
they're very similar in that way. Exactly. Yeah. We're all very tied.
And you like that too?
Yeah, I would say so. It's a Serbian philosophy.
Yes. And I think we can see that as well in Darko. And even the way he conducted himself yesterday, you would, if you didn't know who he was at all, and you didn't research a single thing about him, you would probably say humble, energetic, driven, but also probably willing to listen to. He can probably take some negative feedback. And you think about, some of the interviews he's done, and you can tell that there's a passion about him, about basketball, and he's confident. He's like, I feel like this is the way you need to play. However, if you got something that you think that you're very strongly, like feel very strongly about, let's talk about it. It's about like the ultimate goal. And you like the personality that he's bringing to the Toronto Raptors. I think it is something that they've been missing, especially with the player development side, which we're going to get to in a second. But it seems like he cares about the development of people, not just basketball players, but grow. And how can I help you grow?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think as an assistant coach, you are very focused on the players and their development. And he has been able to do that as an assistant coach with the three teams that he's coached. And now he's kind of bringing that knowledge as a head coach. And we all know what happened with Nick Nurse, who was also an assistant coach for us. And in his first year as head coach, we all know what happened. And I think I just always like the idea of hiring an assistant coach because they have this personal touch with the players that the head coach just quite doesn't. And yeah, you can tell that he's really just excited, and the way he talks about basketball and the way he said how his jaw hurts from smiling so much, how excited he is to be in Toronto. That's another thing you don't see very often with players or coaches being that excited to come to this city. We all know how short of a spell players have had here in the past. Players are known to be in Toronto maybe for a year or 2 years before they leave. Being in Canada isn't ideal for all players around the NBA. So it's really nice to see someone being as excited as Darko to be joining the Raptors.
So when it comes to the youth systems that Darko has led a little bit in Serbia, what exactly is that? I mean, what would be his role? Is it kind of an advisor, a basketball advisor to a degree?
Well, he was the head coach for the youth systems for the youth teams of the senior team, such as Borac Čačak, where he's from, and Crvena Zvezda. So we can talk about Crvena Zvezda, for example. So Crvena Zvezda Belgrade is the biggest sports club in Serbia, and they're based in Belgrade, the capital. And they have a basketball team, they have a soccer team, football team, hockey team. So in Europe, they're well known for their organizations, so for their sports clubs rather than individual organizations. And the fact that he coached even the youth team for Zvezda says a lot, I think. And the culture in Serbia is the basketball culture in Serbia is huge, especially for a team like Zvezda. And I think that's a really good thing to have on your resume. I don't know how intense that coaching got and how intense the games were at the youth level, but if you've ever watched games at the senior level, the atmosphere at those basketball games is something indescribable. It's not like your typical NBA game where fans are just chanting out defense or let's go Raptors. There's actual anthems that the viewers are singing all throughout the game. There's stands. It literally feels like you're at a soccer game, but you're actually at a basketball game. And that's just some sort of intensity and passion that I hope that Darko will bring to Toronto. And as we said it before, he's a very stand-up guy, very, very easy to talk to, it seems. But I don't think he's also going to be soft as a coach. I think that he's going to know, yeah, he knows where his place is, and he knows he's going to find a way to get to each player in a very professional yet friendly way. But he, I think, is going to assert some sort of level of dominance and respect that I think the Raptors need right now. And I think that's going to show through his coaching.
I remember Nikola Jokic was asked once about a booing, because he was being booed for something in the NBA. And a reporter asked him, was like, what was your reaction? And he's like, brother, from Serbia. Okay, like essentially saying, like, this is nothing. Okay, and you have no idea what I've seen in Serbia, what I've dealt with. So, to what you just said, makes sense.
Exactly that.
With those basketball games in Serbia, though, if you were to, like, you know, bullet point notes, look at it, like, what is the difference between those kinds of basketball games on the court, style, things of that nature, versus the NBA? What are some, like, overarching pillars that you would say?
Defense. Defense. Doc said it himself. Was it him that he said it, that said it, or somebody else? But expect good defense from the Raptors.
Yeah, he did say something like that. Yeah,
we all know how nonchalant and soft the defense has become in the NBA, especially in the regular season. The playoffs, is something different. That's still pure basketball. But I think that we see how high scoring the games are in the NBA nowadays. So as opposed to Europe, games are a lot more low scoring, and you can see that through the defense and the intensity.
Yeah.
And it's all about teamwork as well. And there isn't, you're not really going to get one player leading up the ball, a point guard, and waiting 24 seconds to shoot it just himself. No, a lot more movement going on, a lot more shooting within the 3-point line. Big men are also used a lot more in Europe, I would say. Centers are a lot more valuable in Europe. And,
sense would you say?
They're just used a lot more, I would say. And they play that traditional role of a center a lot more often. I know that now in the NBA, centers can shoot three-pointers right now, right? But in Europe, they kind of stick to the traditional ways where the center is under the net, and he drives when he needs to drive, passes it out when he needs to pass it out. There's a lot more ball movement and defense when it comes to European basketball. And I would say that's the biggest difference between the comparison of NBA and Europe.
He did a podcast a few years ago, which has been widely touted as what everyone listened to learn more about Darko. And to his credit, I mean, he hasn't been shy about talking about basketball and his vision. And it seems like from that standpoint that he knew, I got to do things like this, get people to know who I am. And it's going to make him a better personality for the media, which, let's be realistic, that does mean something. But also, like, he is his own brand in a way, not maybe in the sense of what Nick Nurse was. I don't think we're going to see a DR hat, you know, from.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
From Darko coming out, but he knows that he has to get his name out there, and that's what he was doing. And the knowledge that he was sharing, it was on the Basketball Immersions podcast. Everyone's been talking about that. It's a 0.5 style of basketball, play together, avoiding isolation basketball, and getting everyone to accept their roles and constant movement, and, you know, finding ways to get the most out of your roster, and having everyone being able to do everything, which has actually been what the Raptors are trying to shoot for. They haven't got there. They're not even close, actually. But through some of his development journeys with some of the NBA players, Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson, Jackson, you can tell that he has implemented that concept in them. And you get excited about, with that, what's he going to be able to do with the Precious Achiuwa? You know, how can he, you know, expand Scottie Barnes? How can he help OG Anunoby just get a bit more crafty, a bit more cerebral with his offense, and to get a different understanding of how he can be more dynamic offensively? The spacing on the Raptors has been a problem. And obviously the answer is shooting, but I still believe that there's more that they could do with their offense through cutting, smart cutting, player positioning, spacing, that could help them just become more fluid with everything. And I think we're going to see that this season with Darko.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so too. I mean, it's an awkward stage in the Raptors' history right now, you know, with Foster being questionable, maybe. It's definitely on paper hasn't been. Mm-hmm. It's the weakest roster we've had in a while, since the early 2000s, I would say. And to work with this kind of team isn't going to be easy. You know, do we rebuild or not? Do we build out the team we have now? Is the real question. How is he going to get the best out of our players, especially our stars? Maybe there'll be a new star that he'll get something out of that we don't know yet. But yeah, I think the shooting also really needs to be improved. I know that's another thing I forgot to mention. Shooting in Europe is huge as well. A lot of good three-point shooters. Maybe we'll have some focus on that.
Looking back at the development side, so I was looking at some articles about Darko, and there was one where he suggested that, you know, Lute Olson, who is, I believe, the coach of Arizona, or was the coach of Arizona, and he saw the way he was developing players, and he really gravitated towards that. There's a portion here that I'm going to read about. It was awesome just seeing the way he developed players. Everything was about players. I remember those guys, they practiced for like 2.5 hours long, but the first hour and a half, or 15 minutes or so, was just player development. My whole career, I modeled kind of in that way. I really like working with young players and developing young players. Getting that opportunity, I think that's the most rewarding thing, when you see guys learning lessons and getting better tactically and just implementing those things in games. It's just the most rewarding thing to watch for a coach. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then you factor that in, and he also went a little bit more deeper into it on the Basketball Immersions podcast that I mentioned, that film sessions are good as a group, but at the same time, it's probably better to get them into smaller portions of people, and also individual, because then they're going to be more willing to talk. And he mentioned, you know, a meeting he had with DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker back in Phoenix, where, you know, initially the first film session with those two, it wasn't much, you know, back and forth communication, but then as they got going, now those guys were running the film session. They were talking things out, and they were thinking about, you know, what are you seeing? What am I seeing? And it's that togetherness that I think is going to come back with the Raptors. I mean, we have no idea how disconnected this team got, but from what I'm hearing from Darko, and how much Masai is praising the fact that he is now the Raptors head coach, there's going to be such a huge shift in how the Raptors do things fundamentally, player to player, in practices, in film sessions. Everything is going to change. And I think that's encouraging. And so much of that is contributing to the player he is, or the coach he is, and the background he has.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it's an accident why Darko was chosen by Masai. No accident at all. Mm-hmm. It's all for a reason. And I'm not at all in doubt with the Raptor situation right now. We may be a little at a dysfunctional situation, but I have trust in the management. I have trust in Masai, especially in Darko now. And I don't doubt that, like you said, he's going to be working on some, bringing the team together. He's going to bring the team together in a way that maybe Nick Nurse couldn't in the recent couple of months. And yeah, we'll just let's see when it materializes itself. And I think that it will very soon.
This is kind of a broad question, but hear me out. Yeah. Family. Okay. So I think everyone, me, even myself, like, I'm Indian, and family and like the core of your people, it's obviously very important. But I see the extension with Darko as well, and seeing how humble all these Serbian NBA players are. I mean, it's a small community, but also they're big in heart, you could say. You know, what does the word family mean in Serbia?
What does family mean in Serbia? Well, we're all family in Serbia. We're all very close. And what I mean by that is within a family, parents, siblings, kids, children, grandparents, we're all very close in contact with one another at all times. We're very disciplined in a sense that our parents, especially my parents, the first generation of Serbs that come in Toronto, have been through a lot in their young adulthood. Like I said, Serbia is, especially in the 90s, was a war-torn country. And a lot of our parents and their parents before them grew up in tough times. And through that, we built a level of resilience that we just don't let anything bring us down. Mm-hmm. And because of that, because of those hard times, we keep the family very close, as Drake would say. Because of those hardships that they've gone through. And it's just something that I've grown up with, being very close to my parents, my brother, my grandparents. And it's a level of love and respect that is absolutely necessary in our culture, in our country. I think that family is just absolutely number one. And I think that's what unites us. I think we don't hold back when it comes to love and expressing that love amongst us. We're not shy or embarrassed to express that. We really show it through our family and our friends even as well. We consider our friends family as well. And you know, we'll be nice and humble to whoever we meet along the way. That's how we were raised. Mm-hmm. And that's how I plan to raise my children. And
I mean, going through that kind of war, which took place during the 90s, I think it's going to shape people for better or for worse, but also those who make it through is going to make you that much closer. Because you're going to respect each other more. You're going to be proud of being Serbian. And that is something that also sticks out. It's not I'm Serbian. It's I'm Serbian.
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
And I feel that from him too, that he says I'm Serbian and I am proud to be Serbian, which is a beautiful thing. Another quote from here, and this is from the World Cup, where he was talking about, you know, the importance of player development in Serbia. And he says, just representing your country at the World Cup is a huge, huge, huge honor for me. That's three huges.
It's a huge honor when you get to represent your country, whether it's a player or a coach. Was that in regards to the 2019 World Cup?
I believe so. Yeah, that would have been, because this article was from 2020. So yeah.
Yeah, that's a World Cup that we Serbs do not like talking about because
sorry,
we did not do well.
Yeah,
which sucks because it was so highly anticipated, that World Cup, considering how good of a squad we had at the time. Mm-hmm. Jokic, Bogdanovic, Teodosic played, who also played in the NBA at one point. He was our best player at the time. Marjanovic, and it was just so highly anticipated. Everyone was looking forward to it. I know that a lot of my family in Serbia was gonna fly out to where was the World Cup held? In China, I believe.
Oh, yeah, I got to look that up. I looked at it the other day. I got to look it up. But yeah, go on.
Could be wrong. But so it was just, it's a shame. It was just like a big buzzkill when we didn't even get out of the group when it was projected that we would at least make the final. But either way, the national team has been fairly successful, I would say, in the last decade, and it is such a huge honor for players for that team. And I can imagine how big of an honor it was for Dodiko coming from teaching youth kids to now, you know, being assistant coach for the actual national team. And the atmosphere for our games is could be compared to club games. The fans are just as crazy.
Yeah.
And the love for the game is there. And I love watching Serbian basketball because it's pure, and the players actually want to play for the team. You can tell, and we usually play well.
Usually, yes. Usually. We all lose, right? There's only one winner. right? And after that, there's a whole bunch of losers, as Masai Ujiri said at the trade deadline.
Exactly.
Right? On the family stuff, like, you could look, don't look any further than Novak Djokovic and Nikola Jokic. Like, there's Nikola Jokic, and then there are his brothers. There's Novak Djokovic, and then there is his father, right?
His brother too, yeah.
And his brothers too. So you keep your family close. That's obviously really important. You mentioned the Serbian basketball. So we talked about the defense, which I think, even just with the personnel that the Raptors have, the length that they already have, I think the defense is going to be just fine. Offensively is where I think they could make some strides. And I'm hoping that, within his new vision for the Toronto Raptors, I hope we see more players off the bench, because that means then your starters are playing less minutes and we're seeing more opportunity. And once you have the structure down, this is the most exciting part about this, is that he talks so much about, you have your base, your foundation for your offense, but then you have options out of it. If you get the base as a player, right, then you can innovate out of that. And that doesn't mean that you need to have a certain level of skill. Like, you are just running the offense. Sure, it might be easier for someone who's 6'8 or 6'4 to do certain aspects of it, but it's about knowing the offense and making quick decisions and being a step ahead and 0.5 basketball, as we mentioned earlier on. And that's what's exciting, is that once, if they're able to harness that and get a better understanding of their roles within the offense and everyone accepts it, because they are specific, but at the same time, it's also not, because who the best player is all the time on the court. So there's that aspect. But cutting, moving, those quick twitch decisions that a player has to make on the fly, if you can do that, there's a role for you in this offense. And obviously, being able to knock down a shot would help too. But the Serbian, what I wanted to ask you about is the Serbian offensive side of the game. I would imagine there's lots of movement, there's lots of cutting, and also probably, as you said, shooting is a big part of the style.
Exactly. So Serbia is well known for its shooting ability. We've had such successful shooters in the past, and Pejic Stojaković, even Bogdanović is shooting well. Jokic can shoot threes. It's a Boban can shoot threes. Knock it down. Yeah. It's a big part of the game. Big part of the Serbian game is shooting threes, and like I mentioned before, ball movement with outside of the 3-point line, within the 3-point line, and hopefully that could be brought to the Raptors a little more.
I think part of shooting too is having the confidence to take the shot and having the knowledge that your coaches and your teammates have confidence in you to take that shot too. And that's why this fluid style of basketball, where it's about the shot should come from here, and it doesn't necessarily matter who is to take that shot. Now, also with the Raptors, catch and shoot threes, especially from the corners, was a point of emphasis, and it didn't go all that well. But you combine a new coaching staff, new identity, all that maybe some of those shots just start to go down a little bit more frequently.
Maybe we bring in some Serbian players too.
I was going to ask you about that, actually. I wanted to get your thoughts on this. Is when the coaching thing was going down and there was the rumors around Sergio Scariolo, and my first thought was, could this just like open up everything? Like, could the floodgates open? My conversations with CJ Miles, the podcast we do, Strictly Hoops, and just other things I've heard from other NBA players. I remember Marc Gasol during the championship year, he was asked about the Raptors not having a lot of high draft picks on their championship team. And someone asked him, like, well, what are your thoughts on it? He's like, it doesn't say much about the draft, does it? Yeah. Because the talent is there. So I'm starting to think that this could just be like the beginning of a lot of players from the European side. And already the Raptors are looking to conquer Africa. Okay. So that's already happening. But now you add in this additional element. Now European players are coming over, and they already have that European style of basketball. This could be the beginning of something crazy. And I wanted to, I'll start there.
Like you said it yourself, conquered Africa, onto Europe now. I mean, Raptors have always been known as an international team to begin with. We've had so many international players throughout the years. I think mainly because those international players are more open to come to Canada as opposed to American players. And like I said, it could be, like you said, it could be some sort of new takeover. It could be cool. It could be a kind of, if we bring in more European players, these aren't European players from the NBA, is what I mean. So we have a little bit of both with these European players. have both played in Europe and the NBA, so they bring like a kind of like a double mix onto our team, and that'll differentiate us compared to any other team in the NBA. And I think I'd personally love to see a Serbian player or two join the Raptors. For example, a realistic signing, top of my head, would be Bogdanović, for example. I would love to have him shooting.
Yeah, he'd be great. He'd be great. Is he a free agent? I can't remember. Let me check.
I know there was talks of him leaving Atlanta last year.
While I look this up, I want to get, again, your thoughts on something. So as we wrap up the podcast now, if you were to go into your crystal globe, Bogdan, he's going into a contract year. He's 30 years old, making $18 million. He is owed 2023, 2024, $18 million. So he is, he's going into a contract year. 5 years from now, if you were just to guess, or even like just put your hopes and aspirations into this, what do you think is going to be the impact of Darko becoming head coach of the Toronto Raptors in Europe and in the NBA?
I do believe that he will bring a different style of play, and he will be bringing in these European players in. I'm sure of it. And I feel like other NBA teams will follow.
Copycat league, man. Copycat league.
It is a copycat. It literally is, right? I'm seeing the success that Jokic has, and no one believed in him. No one thought that, you know, people were questioning his MVP. His MVP years, like, how is this guy the best player in the league? He's yet to win anything, and now he wins the chip. And our people are starting to realize, okay, maybe Serbia is not to be messed with. Maybe these guys actually have something that we didn't know about.
Yeah.
And if Darko brings in these European players, Serbian players, I just have this vision that we will, as the Raptors, will be up there in the Eastern Conference, fighting for, let's say, that top four position. I can see it. And we're going to be such a different team than the rest. And people are going to be influenced by that to base their teams off of what we've been doing. As far as Europe, I think that as a sport, as a league, the NBA will expand even more so in Europe. Maybe in other continents it'll touch up on.
Yeah,
I don't know about that. But I think that Europe is on its way to get the respect that it deserves.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this is a perfect timing for Darko to be hired right after Jokic's title. People are starting to realize, all right, this guy's Serb. These guys could be the real deal. You know, we've been underestimating them the past couple of years, and they're just resilient. You know, I think, and you see that in Jokic. I mean, many people say, like, this. I don't know if you saw his reaction when he even won the title, or his like celebration. It looks like the guy doesn't care.
Yeah.
Right. But oh boy, does he care? He just doesn't show it. He shows it all on the court. He doesn't talk. He doesn't talk like Butler did against Boston and
No, that's not him. But humble beginnings, right? He's not gonna talk like that.
He's not gonna talk like that. You know, if you win or lose, he's not gonna talk. Period. And if you watch tennis and Djokovic, same thing. Jokic doesn't, you know, celebrate too hard when he wins his Grand Slam trophies, especially in the toughest matches in his career, dating back to 2019, Wimbledon against Federer. It was a five-setter. Federer had.
Oh, that was huge.
Remember that? Federer had
two
championship points, blew them. Jokic comes back, wins the match. I don't know if you saw his reaction when he won that crazy match. He just simply looks at the crowd, looks to the left, looks to the left, looks to the right, walks up to the net, shakes Roger's hand, salutes the crowd, and that's it. He was so composed. Meanwhile, us at home, we're all like going crazy. Yeah. He's so composed. At the peak of his abilities, the peak of his success, they're just very composed people. And I think that's a very scary sight for opponents.
Mm-hmm.
And if we bring some sort of that mentality to non-European players too, I think the Raptors can be a very dangerous team.
I think about, you know, how is their scouting system going to change? Are they going to assign more to certain continents in the world? The assistant coaches they bring in, are we going to see, you know, a couple of these summer league tryouts. Like, I'm actually very curious what their summer league roster is going to look like, because who knows, maybe Dark already has a few people in Europe that he's like, we should give these guys a shot. Or he has people who are going to help him understand that these are guys that we should give them a shot. And it's about the move and shooting ability that I think the Raptors have really been missing. And that's why there's some of the speculation that they're going to try and get, you know, Grady Dick from Kansas, if he falls to the Raptors in the NBA draft, or maybe it's the Jordan Hawkins, whoever, that they're going to be the players that they go for because of the obvious needs that they have. But it's intriguing. If the Raptors indeed, and that's all the indications suggest, that they aren't looking to rebuild, it's more of a retool. They want to tinker in the margins. If that's what they're doing, then I want to see what Darko's influence is going to be in these coming days, coming months. How are the Raptors going to be looking different when it comes to next season, and also, you know, going forward? I'm very excited. This is like, it's truly a new time for this franchise. And considering how things went last season, you can get excited about that. I mean, it's easy to go bah humbug about where the team is, you know, free agents, who's coming back, who's not. Is Fred VanVleet worth $30 million? Yada, yada, yada. But this is a culture change. So much is going to change with this franchise over these next few seasons, and Darko is going to be at the center of it. And everything we know about him, I think there's reason to be excited about it. So this was awesome, man. Anything you want to mention? Anything you want to plug? I'm assuming I'm going to see you a lot at the arena going forward, because there will be Serbian players coming to Scotiabank Arena, and you will be there interviewing them.
Hopefully I'll do that. Hopefully see more of you at games. Thanks for this opportunity. I appreciate it. Great talk. I haven't been this excited for Raptor season in the last 4 years, I would say. So I think we'll definitely notice a difference in the whole team already by next year. And yeah, man, I'm just really looking forward to it. And we'll see where it goes. Let's just leave it at that for now. You know what? We don't want to get, you know, too ahead of ourselves either, right? You know, regardless, I think it's a good time to be a Raptors fan. I think it's an exciting time. A little bit of challenge is good. A little bit of restructuring is good.
Yeah.
So I think a little add a little bit of Serbian flavor to the team is good. Long story.
A little. What one of those dishes that you mentioned at the beginning? One of those dishes. A little.
There
we go.
There you
Whatever that one was. I forget what that was, but
maybe instead of pizza, they could be selling ćevapi and pljeskavice at Scotia.
Yes. I think these are changes that have to happen. Seriously. If you want to embrace, you know, your head coach, this is your head coach, right? Awesome. You brought him in because of how different he is, and you wanted that European influence. So why aren't you going to do something like that?
And you're going to get fans, man. You know how big the Serbian community is here in Toronto.
25,000, that could sell out the Scotiabank Arena.
start serving some ćevapi, serve some rakija, which is the Serbian brandy, you know?
Is there a beer?
It's a Serbian brandy. It's
like is there a beer?
Oh, is there a Serbian beer? Yeah, there's Jelen beer, there's Lav beer. It's different types of Serbian beers that are good. But
we got to get together for a Serbian beer, okay? Yeah, we're going to do that this season.
Hey man, if you want to go to a nice Serbian restaurant as well, let me know. There's a bunch of them in the city. I don't know if you heard of California. It's on Danforth.
California. I used to live along the Danforth, but it was around the Greek part of it at Pape. So it was mainly that.
It's close to Pape Station. That's just Royal Meats. I don't know if you've heard of Royal Meats in Mississauga.
Another one. Better write these down.
It's just. It's a vibe. The Serbian community, I think bring a lot of energy, and yeah, looking forward to it. Looking forward to the Raptor season regardless. And
same.
It's going to be, it's exciting. It's exciting.
100%, man.
It's going to be a long summer, but excited for the start of the season. See what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Serbian Toronto TV on YouTube. That's where you can find the interviews that Filip is going to be doing at Scotiabank and everywhere. And I don't doubt that you're going to get a Darko interview at some point this season. Just keep on plugging away. The man, I think he will gladly do a sit down for you for a few minutes because of, you know, his background and your background and your father's background. And you guys can just have a great Serbian chat. It'd be awesome. All right, everyone. This was really cool. Thank you, man. This was a lot of fun. Rate, review, and subscribe on your podcast platforms. We'll talk to you soon. everyone. Thanks.